I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to Portland musician David Ornette Cherry. Find out more about his music at davidornettecherry.com. Today I feature Sold, The Economics of Our Black Body, a new devised ensemble piece that examines the American economic dream for Black Americans. Sold is presented by Vanport Mosaic and runs November 14th through the 24th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. I'll be talking with director Damaris Webb and actress Shireen Jacob, both from Sold. Lots of talent in the studio today, so stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KABU studio are co-director of the Vanport Mosaic and director of Sold, Damaris Webb.
Hi, good morning, Dee Mae. Thanks for having us.
Welcome back. It's good to have you back. And also, Shireen Jacobs, an actress who's in the ensemble and is part of the devising group. First timer here, Shireen, welcome.
Thank you for having me today, Dima.
It's good to have you here. And so, you know, Damaris, first off, we should say that Sold is spelled S-O-U-L with an apostrophe D. And so I saw a work in progress reading of this earlier this year at Vanport Mosaic Festival. And I remember saying to you, hey, Damaris, you've got something pretty hard-hitting and special, and it is a winner. You remember that?
I do. That was a nice boost of confidence.
No, because this was a really important work from what I saw, and I'm looking forward to seeing the full work. Tell us about it. First off, the title.
Yeah.
Let's get with the title first, and, you know, with the spelling of soul, S-O-U-L. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so even underneath getting to the title, it was actually you, Dee Mae, with Theater Diaspora a few years ago who invited me to come in and give a viewpoints workshop to an entire POC group. And my background is in what they now refer to as devising. When I was coming up, we just called it making work. But I learned viewpoints from Mary Overly. I studied at the experimental theater wing at NYU and have my MFA for contemporary performance at Naropa. So this is the world that I've deeply been steeped in. But I am aware that in all my wonderful teachings that I've received that I'm deeply grateful for, I've had about 2.5, and I say half because they were like a visiting artist, POC teachers, let alone Black teachers in my entire training programs. So to be offering the viewpoints work in an entire POC group was really, I didn't realize how much it would impact me coming in the room. And even though it was a large group and it was a one-off.
Shireen, you were in that group.
Yeah, yeah, I took that workshop.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was just to feel how amazing it was to be in a safe space with others, so from all diverse backgrounds, and just be allowed to be in our own bodies together in a room of brown people. And so I said to myself, this is what I need to be doing. Yes.
Oh gosh, I'm so honored that you said that, really.
It's true.
You know, because I also think about outside of Theater Diaspora, I haven't really worked with an all-Asian cast or an Asian director or any director of color.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, in like 30 years of theater. So, you know, up until recently. So, yeah. So that's a big step. And it's like to explain that, what that feels like. And when you say it's a safe space or it's a comfortable space, but it's also just perhaps for me, it's like you don't have to explain things or justify things or have, you know, heated discussions about how you want to even call yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we still have heated discussions, but in a very good, in a good way, you know, and to just even wonder what a horizontal, even the idea of a horizontal approach to creative making, and what does that mean for, in this situation, an all-Black group? And so, you know, I really, the intention is to put our money where our mouth is, and especially for me, I personally feel that that you know, the kind of nationwide conversation we're having about what it is to cast actors in roles that is not their ethnic origin. And I really feel that that conversation is false, and that until there is diversity in the boards of directors, in the casting agents, in the playwrights who are telling the stories, and as you pointed to, the directors, et cetera.
And the audience. That's what's left out a lot of times, is that the audience is still predominantly white, older people.
Who are we telling the story for?
Yes. Yeah.
And so unless we have more diversity and inclusivity in all of these areas, we're just brownwashing, whatever color washing you want to say, the stories. So we've embarked holding hands on this process, and the fruits of this will be sold, the economics of our Black body. So even though I think it is a wonderful show and is virtuosic and I'm super proud of it, it is also the product of the working together, which is the main thing.
Well, yeah. So when you say you're working horizontally, what do you mean by that? And so for people who don't know what devised means, it's creating the script with the actors.
Correct.
The entire show. Shireen, how has it been working as one of the co-creators?
Well, as someone who is completely brand new to devising, definitely a learning curve for me, but it is insightful to sit in a room with people who from the outside can look very similar, but we all have these very different experiences, not only just life experiences, but also our performance experiences.
And there's generational experiences too.
Definitely, yeah. Yes. And lots of different backgrounds, lots of different types of training and different ways of approaching it, but also different things that are important to each of us. And I think that, so for me, it started out as a very, very challenging thing. Like I said, I have no background in this, but as I got more comfortable within the process and also got comfortable with the people in the room, I found it to be a really freeing experience to do this. And I'm actually really excited to do more of this type of work.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah.
Because it isn't often that one gets to bring their full selves into the room and create something where not only that is from you, but you also get to see yourself represented because you put yourself there.
Right. And so you call everybody co-conspirators in this project.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean?
We're
conspiring.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean,
we're inspiring and
co-conspiring. Exactly. Exactly. Right? That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because a lot of it is, as Damaris mentioned, is who are we telling these stories for? And so knowing that the landscape of a lot of audiences are going to be predominantly white, even for a show like this, you know, just kind of conspiring as to what kind of reaction are you trying to pull from people? What sort of things are you wanting to say to them that maybe they don't get to hear very often or don't get to hear as directly as we want to say it? So it does kind of feel like we are conspiring together sometimes to make people uncomfortable and just to illuminate and maybe inspire other creators who look like us or don't think that there's a space for them.
Well, I want to talk more about the content of the show, but before we do that, why don't you let us know about who your co-conspirators are? Do you have the full ensemble? I know LaTevin Alexander's in it. Chantal DeGroat, was also mentioned.
Yeah, so, I mean, this process started a few years ago, right? And so some of the content is inspired from conversations that happened maybe even a couple of years ago, and then some are just from last week. And some people have, we've had as you had mentioned, Dime, you saw a work in progress showing in May, in which Shireen was in, and Chantal and others contributed to that work in progress showing, but not everyone was available to perform for
In this particular show.
Yeah, and vice versa. So there are people who have contributed, because we've had workshop processes, then after that part, to take the materials that were yielded from that into script making, into ordering and sequencing of a show, and then lots of killing of babies, and reordering and
metaphorically,
you know, great surprise. Yes.
We have to be very clear on the air about what we're talking about.
Yes, metaphorically, that is correct. So the project, which is the moniker that we're going by, not that we're a new theater company, but that we are a collective that has its own support system.
So and, some of the actors also are Kenneth Dembo and...
I kind of consider us all as divisors and creators, but Kenneth Dembo is actually our stage manager.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
People who have been a part of this project are Latevin Alexander, Catherine Braxton, who is new to town, Ty Cozier, Chantal DeGroat, Kenneth Dembo, James Dixon, Anteas Faulkner, who is also new to town, Sydney Jackson, also new to town, Shireen, Phil Johnson, Shalanda Sims, Wanda Walden, and myself. And I think that is everybody.
Well, it's such a good group of people. I wanted you to mention everybody. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts talking with director Damaris Webb and actress and divisor, co-divisor, Shireen Jacobs from Sold, which opens November 14th and runs through November 24th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. More info at vanportmosaic.org. Let's start talking about the content, because when I saw the reading, there were some pretty hard-hitting scenes in there. They were comedic, but from a deep, deep place, you know, of satire. And I'd like to, you know, just sort of mention that, because the whole title really sold, you know, The Economics of Our Black Body. It examines exploitation and appropriation of Black people and how that affects the Black American dream. I mean, that's a huge theme there.
Yeah.
Huge topic.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, so as far as content goes, we have sourced material that is, you know, historical, that is known or maybe not known by everyone. We've sourced personal experiences or family experience. We source legislation. We source current events that are topical in the news. And, you know, looking at, I mean, the show is under an hour long, and so we're not trying to necessarily educate from the first slaves that landed here in North America, you know, up to the present, but to give our experience through these different lenses of how it is for ourselves to be Black as Americans, and what that might mean going forward, even, right? What do we think we want going forward? What is important to us as Americans who are Black?
Well, I remember also from the reading, I mean, there was some of the scenes like a game show, right? But also in talking about...
Yeah, Gentrification Jeopardy.
Yeah. Is that still in the show? Well, give us just the titles of some of the scenes that you've developed.
Okay.
I mean, that tells a lot. When you just said that, you know, Gentrification Jeopardy.
Okay, so we've got, of course, Gentrification Jeopardy. We've got Cotton is King, I believe. We also have an infomercial about for-profit prisons. We have some personal narratives, some 23andMe stories that are included in there. We also are looking at Venus, or the anxiety of a Black woman. And then Grove of Strange Fruit is included in there, as Make America, Let America Be America Again. Mm. Yeah. So kind of a wide range of topics and themes in there.
It sounds just as biting and deep as the reading. You know, the only time I've seen something similar to that was later on this year, that, you know, that was so satirical, but also, like, if you didn't laugh, you're going to cry kind of humor. I went to Ashland and I saw an Indigenous piece called Between Two Knees.
Mm.
And it was about, you know... Wounded Knee and all the genocide and all the after effects, and it took it generationally. It was funny as hell. It really was. It was so, you know, it was so deeply scarring at the same time, but also just you had to laugh because of the ridiculousness that we have gotten ourselves into, you know, with history. As a country, as peoples. So I really feel like what you're developing is so ahead of its time. I really do. I really do.
That's exciting.
I know.
And I'm really excited to see it.
And it is true what you point to about, you know, you have either you're going to laugh or you're going to cry. And you know, I strongly feel that humor and satire is a way that we can engage with some really challenging material and open our ears to facts that might not be known or overlooked or overwhelming. And in the room itself, though, that is also been a significant part of this process. That's the story underneath the story. And how is it, as Shireen was pointing to have different experiences or different places on the trajectory of how it is to be here?
Yeah. And you know, the humor piece of it, it's, and like Damer says, it is great for receptivity as far as audience is concerned, but it's as much for us as devisers as it is for the audience that we're creating. Because when we're creating this work, we do it as much for ourselves as we do for other people of color or our audiences. And the humor not only makes it bearable for us to get through in rehearsing and creating day after day with these things, but also just a lot of it is deeply funny. it really is. And it's absurd and ridiculous, and kind of the only way to live it day to day is to find ways to laugh at it.
Well, it's a survival skill, isn't it?
Very much so.
And I liked what you said about receptivity, because mm-hmm. some people might learn something
yeah.
that they probably wouldn't if it was a heavier
right.
play.
Right.
You know, let's
yeah.
face it.
You yeah,
know?
You can't lecture at people all day. And
I mean, you could.
I mean, you could, but it's...
I certainly have in my... daily life, but you know, it doesn't always work.
No, and yeah. not for the receiver and not for you as the person yeah. that's giving it. And you know, you do want to feel like you are communicating to
right,
people.
So right.
and getting through at least something to
right.
them.
And I think that definitely something like this has more opportunity to talk about a lot of different things. Shireen, from your actor perspective, mm-hmm. what is it like to not know what your script is and to have it change every day? And even it might change after we speak today.
That's very yeah. possible. That is very possible. A little bit daunting, tiny bit terrifying. But that's the moment where you kind of really have to dig into not only trusting of yourself as a performer that you can and will pull this through, but also trusting your director, that your director at some point is going to say, okay, we stop here, learn these things.
Yeah, learn these lines.
Right.
They're,
and the people
they're staying.
Around you. Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't scripted improv.
No.
is a play.
This is an actual play.
In progress mm-hmm. up until the day it opens.
Well, hopefully not that yeah, far no, into it.
Yeah, up until tonight, actually. That's the cutoff the designers have given us because they can't stand it anymore.
Oh, yeah. I would think that would be a nightmare. It's like, oh, so this prop I made, you don't need it anymore?
Yeah.
I spent like 2 weeks on this?
Right.
Thanks.
Right.
So everybody's got to work in harmony.
Yes.
Right? Everybody's
yeah.
got to work in harmony, which is it's a big challenge. It's
yeah.
a big challenge when you're creating a new work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's something that is just breaking so many genres and boundaries,
yeah.
you know? I was just curious, what type of scenes that are commenting on the post-Obama backlash. Shireen, you mentioned one particular, you know, make America like what it was, or what was that?
Yeah, that's actually, it's a title of a Langston Hughes poem. So part of what has been a curiosity for me, coming from this tradition, this postmodern tradition of making original work and sourcing open source material. So in many of the rooms that I have previously been in, we're looking at, William Shakespeare, Chekhov, these great works that are known in our canon, right? And so part of this question is, well, what is the American Black canon?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and so you've brought that into this production.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because so often people are, let's do something with Shakespeare but make it all black, or, you know, or even Greek theater, you know.
Right.
And it's like, well, there are other works.
Yes.
There
yes.
are a ton of other works
and
in
so
our history.
And so, you know, when Shireen yeah. was speaking about for ourselves as well, this has been such a wealth of people bringing in literature that they have found that I wasn't aware of. And, you know, when referring back to the post-Obama backlash, then we're looking at current events, you know, that are happening. So how to weave in topical daily things or personal microaggressions or larger than microaggressions that we've experienced into this material, into this non-linear yet a whole story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end to it, and how to pepper those in, how to layer them in, how to have them have their living without overwhelm.
Well, you mentioned, Damaris, that you know you wanted to do this because you realized that you hadn't been in very many productions, if any, or spaces where it was all, you know, all African American, right? Why now, though, with this type of material? That's one aspect is, of course, who do you want for your co-conspirators? Mm-hmm. But what the other aspect is, why? What about Sold cried out for you to bring it now, this project?
Well, part of that is an ongoing... So my father was an accountant most of his life. He worked largely for USAID, and as a black man, he was in the first graduating classes of the University of Oregon that allowed blacks. And he had told me before that what he really wanted to do is be an English lit teacher, professor. But at the time, he couldn't see, or he had no other example to look at of a black professor teaching freshman English at most colleges where his students would be young white women.
I remember seeing a photo of your father. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was, you know, in a production or your personal piece. Yeah.
So his great love of literature and theater specifically is how I came to be involved in theater. I mean, our family vacation was going to Ashland every year. That's what we did. And so even before I was old enough to go to see the plays on stage, and I found in our basement recently one of the playbooks from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival from the year that I was born.
Wow.
And they did a production of Othello. And as you can guess, there was blackface on the actor who played Othello on the cover. So, you know, we've made great strides.
They have come a long way.
Yes, we all
have. But we do remember those things.
Yes.
And for, to tell you the truth, regarding Yellowface, it's still happening.
It's absolutely true.
It's still happening.
Yep.
Yeah, in Portland sometimes. So, so that's important.
So, honoring, I mean, I have... Of the many pieces of literature that we looked through and sourced, I have a book on my nightstand right now called The Economic Proposals for Tanzania, you know, which is very dry material, but still it was, you know, part of my father's background. And when I was coming up, the idea of being a tax accountant seemed like the most awful boring thing in the entire world, and I couldn't understand how my father, who is so creative and connected to the arts and, you know, was doing this thing, and I was sure he must have been a spy. But as I've spent more time in the world and considering more and more what it is to be American and what sets us as Americans, being more curious about the financial aspect of things and how our democracy intersects with capitalism and how our country would not have been able to exist without figuring out a way that it was acceptable to enslave, to steal, to build this country, which became a very powerful country, on the backs of many, many peoples. And, you know, how do we come to terms with that?
Well,
so
sold.
That is that is how the title has come about.
Well, I want to give the information about Sold. Sold, the Economics of Our Black Body, runs 8 performances beginning November 14th and closes November 24th, Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2:30 p.m. All shows are at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. That's located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. The runtime with this... Oh, and we're going to talk about that soon. There's a screening also that happens, and it's all about 90 minutes. And I assume there's an intermission, too?
There is no intermission.
No intermission.
It's under 90 minutes.
Under 90 minutes. And for tickets, you can visit vanportmosaic.org. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.org. anchor.fm/stage and studio. It's a short run, so get on the, you know, get on the website and take a look at this. So I want to talk in just a few minutes that we have remaining about the film that's produced by Cecilia Brown with the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, and it's called Root Shocked. And is it the same short film you showed at
yes.
the reading?
Okay. Yes.
Tell us about that and why that's paired with yeah. Sold.
So with Vanport Mosaic, what is a lucky thing, having a community with many different disciplines here in Portland, that the storytelling is in the service of intersecting with what is really happening, the true stories here in Portland. So this documentary, Root Shocked, looks at the moving of the Mayo House, Portland's Mayo House in Northeast Portland. This house, how do I summarize this as quickly as possible? It was in the Black community. It was up for demolition. It has been around for a while, and artists, designers Cleo Davis and his wife Kaylin Talden Davis and their family were interested in purchasing the house and moving it to a different location. It's been in the family actually for a while, if I understand correctly. And now the vision is to have this home be a center for Black culture here in Portland.
And there was some difficulty about the city allowing that to happen?
And
it was a lot of cost involved,
exactly.
Too. Yeah, so it kind of documents that whole experience.
Right.
And the importance of history to a neighborhood, too.
And looking at...
And to a family.
You know, if their family... I mean, their family had a house that was torn down as part of eminent domain. And if they had been allowed to keep that house, the generational profit or the generational income that they would have received would have been much more significant, right, than what the small amount of cash they received at the time for the, quote, value of the home, right? And this is a continuous truth here in America that you want to talk about value of land, the Native American land in the Tillamook Valleys, I mean, everywhere that Native Americans have had their home and their wealth. I mean, that valley is so, you want to talk about monies, right? So this is part of that story and a very important part of that story, how we pass on wealth.
Okay, that ties exactly with Sold, the Economics of Our Black Body. And that, again, that's running November 14th through the 16th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. Damaris Webb, we didn't get to talk about Vanport Mosaic, but next time, okay? Always
yes.
a pleasure to have you here. Shireen Jacobs, so great to see you and have you here for first time on Stage and Studio.
Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you.
Is wonderful.
It's great to see you. Before we go today, a personal shout out for The Brothers Paranormal by Prince Gomovilas. It's about two Thai American brothers who start a ghost hunting business, and their first clients are an African American couple who swear they're being haunted by a Thai girl ghost. It's funny. Great reviews. It's actually gotten great reviews from The Oregonian and Arts Watch. So funny, scary, but also about grief, loss, and displacement in cultural communities. The show runs this weekend and next weekend, and it closes November 16th at Coho Productions, located at 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street in Portland. More info at cohoproductions.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Ray Bodwell. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. We're going to go out with music by Joe Kai. Here is music at joekai.com.